Hebrews 13:5-8. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I can be a rather irritating person, as Julia often reminds me. And one of the most irritating things that I do that bothers her the most is I will get involved in some fairly deep, fairly long conversations sometimes with just complete strangers. This happens most often at the grocery store. I will get involved with someone in the parking lot at Publix, putting groceries into the back of the car, and we will start talking about their life, start talking about choices that they've made, whether they should go back to school, the relationships that they're in, what they think that they should do. We will get into some rather deep conversations. And Julia is sitting there in the front seat of the car, just banging her head on the dashboard, saying, "Why in the world did I marry a preacher? Can we just go?" And I understand that it can be a little irritating, and that the tables were a little bit turned this last week, as again, in the very same parking lot, we walked out to the car, we're loading some groceries into the back of the van, and then a young woman got involved with a conversation with Julia and was asking about her hair, and noticed that we had some pet supplies in the back of our van. We have a dog crate, we had some cat food and some leashes. They got talking about pets and animals, of which I was not interested in getting involved with. And then they had deeper conversations that, I don't know, people that love pets, they get into. How many cats do you have to have before you're considered a crazy cat person? Which is 4, by the way. Which means I have several crazy cat people living in my house. But I'm sitting there, they're having this 10-minute conversation behind the van as I'm sitting in the driver's seat, just banging my head on the steering wheel, asking myself why I married a hippie. And can we just go? It all came flooding back to me in that moment. But it's really interesting in that the type of people that Julia ends up having conversations with and ends up building deeper relationships with are completely different people than I typically have conversations with and get to know a little bit more. And she reaches a very different crowd than I reach, and I reach a very different crowd than she reaches. But we are both uniquely positioned and uniquely gifted to talk to people in different areas of our lives. And it's interesting how much impact you can have in your daily life in just noticing small moments to connect with people. I told a story during the 9 o'clock worship service last week, and I want to kind of tell it a little bit again in this one. But this kind of came true in a real way a couple years ago when I was watching Lavender's preschool graduation ceremony right here in this sanctuary. And if y'all have ever attended a preschool graduation ceremony, you will notice that there is no real expectation that this will kind of go exactly the way that it was planned. Especially when you give kids the chance to speak into the microphone. You get just about anything that comes out, right? Well, we had a small little microphone positioned right here up here at the front, and all the kids got to come down at the end of the ceremony and explain or say what they wanted to be when they grew up. And you'll get all variety of different things. You might have one little kid come up and say,
I want to be a cowboy.
And then he steps down and kind of goes to the back of the line. But one of the little girls near the front of the line shared that she wanted to be a teacher. And she came down and shared. She stepped down and went to the back of the line. And then this rush of every other student for about 10 students after that, every kid came down and said that they want to be a teacher as well. Just one right after another. And I wasn't sure if, like, you know, they didn't know what to say, and so just that kid said teacher, and then a couple kids said teacher, so all the other kids were like, well, I guess I'm just supposed to say teacher as well. But afterwards, at the reception in the fellowship hall, I was talking to the teacher, and we were kind of joking around about it a little bit, and I said, but do you realize the significance of what the kids were saying when they said that they want to be a teacher? And she said, well, they're just saying that they want to be a teacher. And I said, no, they're saying a lot more than that. They're saying they want to be you. The impacts that we make in our life shape the lives of other people, whether we realize it or not. Whether we are taking intentional actions to build up others around us, to encourage each other, to take steps in faith that are difficult, but walking alongside people as they take those steps, or whether we're simply moving from moment to moment, hoping that we sometimes stumble into getting it right from time to time. Most of the impacts that we will make in our lives come in very simple, small moments that happen in encouragement and conversations. But those small moments make incredible impacts in people's lives. And that's what we've been talking about over the last month. Small things that can make big impacts. So for the past month, we've been preaching through Stewardship Month. And we've been talking for 4 Sundays about stewardship. And as we talk about stewardship, we've been talking about our DNA, the DNA of the church, the DNA of us as disciples. And why we talk about DNA is DNA is the past, present, and future story of who we are. It tells a story of how we've gotten to where we are. It tells a story of why we are what we are today. And it paints the picture of where we might be headed and how we might grow into the future. And DNA is something that each and every one of us experience. We're sort of just covered in it in the story of how we grow as human beings. But as an organization and as a church, the DNA that we have together as disciples is an incredible story that paints the picture of what God has been up to at Alabaster First United Methodist Church. And it's an incredible story. One of the things we don't talk about very often at all is that this is a church that raises up ministers, that raises up leaders. When 66% of your pastoral staff came out of this church, that's a fairly significant testimony. We've got 2 new candidates of ministry that are going to be coming up that are going through the process of discerning God's call on their lives as well. The types of leaders that we've seen rise up and to step in positions of leadership here in the church is incredible. But the DNA of what God is up to here at this church. In our scripture reading this morning, we come to the last chapter in the book of Hebrews. And it's almost as if the author of the book of Hebrews wanted to get their final thoughts, their last words to the readers of what it meant to live a faithful life. And that was my hope with the message today, that as we've been preaching about stewardship for the last several weeks, to have one last Sunday to give last thoughts and a last perspective of what it means to be a faithful disciple. And as the author of the book of Hebrews is painting this picture, he understands that of all this faithfulness and all this theology that's been written down in the first 12 chapters, we realize that the real struggle that we have with faithfulness is not believing that God is in control, but being willing to let God have that control. As the author begins to kind of walk through, what are those steps that we do that sort of takes back the control that we have over our own lives? What are the small examples that we walk past that we insist that through our own brilliance or through our own ideas or our own agendas, that we will take back the purpose of what we want our lives to be or we want our faith to be? And so some of those things that we use to fill some of those questions and voids come to the surface. We believe relationships will fix all of our problems that we have with other people. We believe that money will fix all the other problems that we have. But of these two things, these are the type of moments where we put faith in something else other than God. But the author of the chapter reminds us that these things pass away. These things have no foundation of themselves. That at the end of the day, the only lasting story that we have, the only lasting and eternal promise that we have, is that God has said, I will always be with you, and I will never forsake you. As we preached through stewardship over the last month, we've talked a lot about money. We've talked a lot about finances. We've talked about building loans. We've talked about assets. We've talked about tithing. We've talked about commitments. But what Liz Walker, our lay leader, reminded us about last week during this service and this morning during our 9 o'clock service is that what we paint as a financial picture is really a spiritual conversation. And it's the same point that the author in the book of Hebrews is making is, as we've tried to make our contentment and our satisfaction in money, the reality is that the truth doesn't lie in money. The truth relies in God. That God is the purpose that we have, that God is the definition of what defines us, that God's grace and mercy is what will always be there. And so stewardship doesn't become a conversation about money. Stewardship becomes a conversation about commitment. A commitment that each and every one of us take to each other, to this church, to the kingdom of God, and to God himself. And it's more than just the amount of money that we'll put in the offering plate, but it's a question of what are the commitments that we will take this year? And how much time will I spend in Scripture every day? How often will I pray to God? How often will I pray about the ministries of this church? How often will I pray for those that are around me? And then how will I show up? How will I be that example that lives in such a way that I entertain angels without knowing about it? How will I live in such a way that I will put myself in opportunities to lift others up, to encourage each other, and to make an impact in another person's life, whether I realize it or not, but to leave somebody knowing that they have experienced grace and mercy and joy and love simply by bumping into you in a single moment? Stewardship is about the commitments that we make and how we will be a disciple moving forward. And that story is an incredible, incredible story. Because when you look at it as it's been lived out over the life of the church, then we find ourselves holding on to this inheritance of the leaders, of the vision, of the purpose, of those that have sat in these pews before us and had a hope and a vision of what God wanted to do with this church. And that is something incredible. We look at the faithfulness that we've had over the last several weeks. As stewardship is a season in the church, as a pastor, let me tell you, it is a very difficult season to preach. People don't like talking about money, let alone talking about it for 4 weeks straight. But in all of my focus of commitments and of tithing, God reminded me over the last several weeks that it's so much more than that. As God began to blossom and God began to spread out over so many different areas of the life of our church, over the last several years, we have had a very faithful, very dedicated set of volunteers that twice a year, they essentially put their entire lives on hold to hold a consignment sale across the street in our Restore building. And years ago, they had a vision of being able to renovate and improve our playground space in the back of the church for our children's ministry and our daycare. And as they've worked and as they've put their lives on hold several times a year to make these consignment sales happen so that they could donate a couple $1,000 here, $1,000 here, $1,000 here, over the last several years, they have collected enough that just this week, they were able to write a check for over $18,000 to help improve our playground in the back of the church, all on an initiative of their own, of a vision and a purpose that God had given them of what they could do to touch lives and increase the kingdom of God here at this church. Money that they raised on their own and were able to give forth to that. I'm reminded of groups that go too often without recognition, but do an incredible amount of ministry. The United Methodist Women Group here in the church is one of the most faithful United Methodist Women's groups of any church that I have ever been at. And though we don't talk about them very often, and though sometimes we don't see all the work that they do, they give thousands of dollars a year to ministries and opportunities and nonprofits and groups that operate in this community, in this state, in this nation in incredible, incredible ways. As they are in a lot of ways the leaders of what it looks like to live faithfully and sacrificially in this church. The different men's groups that we've had that will be able to, of their own initiative, be able to hold a barbecue fundraiser to raise money for missions. Or a men's group and a women's group that's going to come together and ask themselves, how can we honor our veterans this year in a deeper way? Ideas and experiences that have bubbled up, not because the pastors have put it on the calendar or because the pastors thought this would be a good thing to get people to come, but because God stirred up something in their lives of a way that they could take a step forward to lift others up. And God is doing incredible, incredible work because they have taken stewardship over the small corner of the kingdom of God that God has planted them. The scripture says, look towards the leaders that we have. And I think about all the strong lay leadership that we've had just in the years that I've been here, or the lay leadership that we have that have helped move us up to this point. We got to hear from Liz Walker, our lay leader, last week and this morning during 9 o'clock. But the leadership of Pete Peterson, of Leah Bond, of Cliff Myers, of Steve Walker, the leaders that have helped paint the vision of how we've come to be here over the last 10 years. And what an incredible, incredible inheritance we have. The kingdom of God doesn't happen simply because the church wants it to happen. It happens because each and every one of you takes stewardship of that small plot of land that God has given you and has planted you to touch lives and to live for others into such a way that the kingdom of God is no longer something that just fills our lives, but it's something that we then take the step to pour that story and that promise out for others. Stewardship is not about gathering up. Stewardship is about pouring out. And it happens because each and every one of us do that together. And that's an incredible story, and I am proud to be a part of that story. I'm proud not only to be a pastor of this church, but to attend this church. And to come every Sunday morning and to be here during the week and to get to see some of the stories that you guys don't always get to see of faithful people acting in faithful ways and God doing incredible works through it. So thank you. Thank you for all that you do in the life of the church. Because your prayers, your presence, your gifts, the service that you have, and your witness truly are what transform lives in ways that you might not always see at first, but others see them and they feel them and they begin to transform an entire community. And those commitments that we make today, when we bring those prayer cards down, when we bring those commitment cards and we lay them on the altar, we signify that we are taking a step together to continue to work into that purpose that God is pouring out for us. To not find satisfaction just in the things that we feel like we need, but to find satisfaction and contentment in the one that we need. In the one who has spoken over us a promise that we will never be alone in this life, that he will always be with us, that he will never forsake us, and that we might be the ones to testify that God is our helper. May we join him in our steps into tomorrow, into helping to build this kingdom. Will you pray with me? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for the outpouring of the Spirit that you have poured out on us. And we ask that you allow us to take that Spirit and begin to pour it out for this world as well. Lord, there are situations and circumstances that you have planted us in that we have influence and ability to lift up and encourage and to strengthen and begin to plant and to build your kingdom. Give us stewardship over the resources and the spaces that we have that we might use what you have given us to help build something not that reflects us, but something that reflects you. And as we walk into tomorrow, God, you are already waiting for us, bidding us to come and to join you as we do this work together. Amen.